We're doing Pirkei Avot. We're up to the 5th chapter, the 13th Mishnah. And this whole chapter is about numbers. 7 traits to Golem, 10 generations, 10 things created on the Eve of Shabbos, 4 types of people, 4 types of student. And now we're up to the 13th Mishnah. 4 Midot Menotnei Tzedakah. 4 types of charity givers. What? 5th chapter, 13th Mishnah. There are 4 types of charity givers. Harotze sheyiten, a person who wants to give, velo yitnu acherim, but he doesn't want other people to give. Eino ra'a b'shel acherim, so he has a bad eye with regard to others. And you'd be surprised how common this is. Very often, we have to understand where it all starts from. It begins with a perpetual feeling that every person has, a feeling of inadequacy. There's an element of that feeling within each and every one of us. I told you guys my history, my deep, dark history as a magician, right? And I told you that one of the things I once studied was how to be a fortune teller. How to be a fortune teller. And that we did this already. Okay, I guess this was with the previous group. You guys weren't here yet. Okay, so I'll tell you what I do with each group. Imagine we're sitting in I have this little room, and you guys walked in, and there's drapes, and I have a big turban on my head, and a long robe, and a crystal ball in front of me. And you're a specific group that came in here. And I look at you with solemn eyes and roll my eyes backwards a little bit. And now, if I look each of you in the eye, and I look for something deep down inside your souls. Now, I have your permission to do this, right? You won't hold it against me afterwards. So then, there are certain things which I know you don't want me to say publicly. But, okay. There are certain things which we can say, which are universal to this group. Number one, I sense certain loneliness. There's some part deep down inside you that has a loneliness. It's waiting for that light, something dark. And it's not only about your past, it's about your present and your hopes for your future. It's a repeated hope that hasn't been met yet. But aside from that, there's a yearning that someone will finally see that special side of you, a yearning that's yet to be met. And you guys already figured it out because I didn't set this up right. But that these are universal things. What good fortune tellers do is they touch on your universal themes, things that are true to every person. But if I say it in a soft and convincing voice, if I lean over, and if I charge you about 1,000 shekel for 15 minutes of my time, so then suddenly everything I say carries a different weight, and suddenly you're bowling over and you're saying, sure, you're the first person who recognized it, right? But everyone has that. So in previous classes, we discussed that yearning for a connection, for someone to accept me where I don't like myself, where we always think I'm going to like my spouse what I like about them, but what I don't like, well, they better shape up. We won't say or ship out, but they better shape up. When the truth is the exact opposite, what my spouse wants is that I should like them where she doesn't like herself, and I want her to like me where I don't like myself. And people have a hard time even opening up to that and sharing that with the other person. What am I going to say? I know I'm always late. I know I never clean up after myself. I know I should do A, B, C, and D. Yeah, we say that. But we don't say the next line. And what I want is for you to love that part of me. Don't be there telling me what's wrong with me. I know what's wrong with me. Or I like to deny what's wrong with me. But that's not our subject here. There's another point here. And that is that quest for recognition. We live with a perpetual challenge. Like Mark Twain once said, whenever someone praises me, I'm bothered and I'm embarrassed that I'm bothered, but I'm bothered because I feel they haven't praised me enough. And then it bothers me that I'm bothered, right? But everyone's that way. Everyone, when they hear their own praise, they feel like, shouldn't they have said a little bit more? So we don't like saying that, right? But deep down inside, we all have that need. And then the question is, how do we try to meet that need? So there are certain things we should not do. We can bring ourselves up by putting someone else down. That sometimes seems the easy way. Let me talk about all the people who are wrong. Obviously, that's not right. But then there's a question of attitude. How do I view the good that I do? How do I view the good that other people do? We once discussed, we put it on the blackboard, a few rules that help us be at equilibrium, at peace with ourselves. One of the rules is, we should sometimes, you know, I do this every time I meet with guys. I say, let's take a piece of paper. Let's draw out, where do you want to be in 20 years, in 10 years, in 5 years, in 3 years, in 6 months? And then a person has to start seeing, hey, does this graph work? Have I made a plan where I want to be, what's important to me in my life in the long run? And does the short run really match the long run? Very often people spend their lives not pursuing their dreams, not even doing anything that'll help them pursue their dreams. And then they're frustrated because they know that they're not really living their lives. So part of it is to decide what's a realistic dream and what's not a realistic dream. And if it's a realistic dream, then let's go see how I can pursue it. And if it's a non-realistic dream, if I know I can't do it, I can't run the marathon, there are certain things I can't do. So then let's decide that this is not a part of our dream and be able to be at peace with ourselves. People stand Yomim Noraim, they stand Rosh Hashanah through Yom Kippur and they're kicking themselves. I don't get up Vasikin every morning. Right, but you volunteer with a chesed organization every night and you go to shir every night. So you're not going to be able to do both. So stop kicking yourself. You're fine. This rule has multiple applications, and if we can really apply it, if we can stop and talk to ourselves, then the applications can change our life. I'll give you an extreme example. I met with a child that was being abused. So we were talking about what can be done. So he started telling me how he has to be a better son. And I said, no. Your first homework is to come to terms with who you are. You're fine. It's not your fault. What's going on isn't your fault. Point number two, we could think about practically, how do we better the situation? Point number one is come to terms that it's not your fault. Both his parents were clinically retarded. Retarded. And he was a super genius. But for a child, his parents are his parents. And he didn't know how to deal with it. So he kept blaming himself. He was out of their care. He was already in a foster home. But he decided that he has to rectify the situation. He went so far as to take the foster home to court. A little kid of 13.
Wait, the foster home parents are abusive?
No. He was in a home for many kids. He wasn't in a specific home. He was in a foster home. He sued the foster home to be able to get back to his retarded parents because he was sure he should be a better son and then they won't abuse him. Okay, that's a normal reaction. Nothing wrong with the kid. But first he had to come to terms with the fact that he's okay. Now, you want to go back to your biological parents, you want to figure out a way to do it, we could talk, we could think about it, but first let's come to terms with what's right is right, what's wrong is wrong. Very often we are not at peace with ourselves because we have goals that are unrealistic. And we have goals that are unfair. We can never get there. So let's make a map. And after we make that map, we can come to terms with ourselves. And you'd be surprised how many people have issues within their marriage because there is this gnawing feeling, I should be better, and it's hard to be happy when we're not at peace with ourselves. There are four types of people who give charity, the Mishnah says. The first one says, I want to give and I don't want others to give. So then what am I all about? I'm looking for a certain appreciation in an unhealthy way. And one of the things we have to know is that within a marriage, it's very natural and normal that certain competition evolves. It's normal. We're two human beings. So the question is, what do we value in life? Some people have competition. Who's going to be a better parent? Some people have competition. Who's going to be a bigger tzaddik? Some people have competition. Who's going to be a better son or son-in-law? There's competition vis-a-vis the in-laws. You know, who's going to look better? None of it's healthy. Let's reach a point, and it's important to recognize it. And it's fair to talk about it. If we can recognize where we are, so then we can work to move forward. The Mishnah says, if someone wants to give but doesn't want others to give, eino ra'a b'shel acharim. So then he has a bad eye when it comes to others. We should want others to give too. What about if he wants, yitnu acharim v'hu lo yiten? I want everyone else to give charity. I don't want to give. Eino ra'a b'shelo. The Mishnah says, that's called that he has a bad eye when it comes to himself. He has a bad eye when it comes to himself. What would we think? That's called a good eye when it comes to himself. I'm hoarding the things for myself. No, the Mishnah says it's called a bad eye. That's not a way of life. I had an interesting experience this past week. You guys, I've been mentioning over and over again Stephen Covey. He wrote a book, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Very good book. Stephen Covey. This is Professor Stephen Covey. 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. So the book takes a lot of themes from Chazal. A lot of ideas. Mamash, you can find them in Pirkei Avos and in Mishlei and throughout Chazal. But he organizes it brilliantly. So one of the things he writes there, not a Jewish person, one of the things he writes there is that our great satisfactions come from when we conquer ourselves. Great satisfaction comes when we conquer ourselves. We saw the Mishnah already. Ezu gibo akoveshet yitzro, right? So, for about the past 7, 8 years, I don't know, I haven't been counting, but I assume somewhere around there, I've been drinking coffee. And then my knee started hurting, and I said to myself, I think it might be connected to the caffeine. So a week ago, I said, I'm not drinking coffee. And I went the whole week without coffee. Now, if you're used to drinking coffees, and then they have a joke in Ger. You go to the Ger Hasidim, they say it's not blood in their veins, it's coffee in their veins. Right? So then that's what you're used to.
There's the coffee room there
in Ger. Right? So when you're used to it, that's like your water. But no, for a week, and at the end of the week, I came to Shabbos. The first day was interesting, right? I said to myself, I thought I wasn't addicted, but how come I keep thinking about it? The second day was even harder. By the fifth day, it was like, okay. It was very interesting. And by Shabbos, it was like, I don't even want to break this. Why should I change this? Why? Because there's tremendous satisfaction when you see, hey, I'm in control. I'm not doing what I want. I'm doing what I should be doing.
Can you have tea instead?
I drank tea, sure. I was drinking tea. Other things, fine. But I don't like them as much as that. Fine. The knee is not better, so whatever. Off of that theory. But at any rate, so today I made a doctor's appointment. But back to the Mishnah. When a person says, I want others to give and I don't want to give, so then he doesn't have self-control and he's not going to be happy with what he has. And then, eino ra'a b'shelo. He really has a bad eye when it comes to his own belongings. I told you the story about the two roommates, previous group. Okay, there are once two roommates. New roommate, old roommate. New roommate comes into the room. So the old roommate says, welcome to the room, get yourself settled. I want to tell you one thing. There's one thing that really gets me ticked, and I'm going to ask you not to do it. Okay? You're in this room, and there's your stuff and my stuff in this room, right? So listen closely. Everything you see here that's mine, you're welcome to use, and please don't ask me. Don't tick me off. You're welcome to use it. We're here in the room together, and use my stuff and feel comfortable about it. How do you feel when you get such a roommate? But you know, in marriage, sometimes we feel like, do I want to put both our names on that account? Let's wait until the marriage lasts 5 years. You know how many people have told me that one? Should I put the home in both our names? No. I once had a couple that was engaged. And suddenly, one side, the guy calls me up and said, you know, we're engaged, but we didn't publicize it yet. And I want to go out. I have savings. I want to buy a house. It'll be in my name before the wedding. So I told him, do me a favor, call off the wedding and let the girl go find another guy. So he said, what do you want? I said, I want that either you jump off the diving board or walk off the diving board. But don't jump off with one foot because you're going to get hurt. So if you're going to try to jump off and leave one foot on that diving board, someone's going to get hurt. So do me a favor, you decide. Are you off or on? But you're not half off. If you're getting married, so you're building a life together. You're getting married, but you're going to do it in a way that really you're not jumping off the diving board. So okay, so you're not ready to get married. Good luck. The guy's still single. It's been, I don't know how many years already. But he decided he's not ready to get off the diving board. He said, you know what? You're right. You're right. I'm getting off the diving board. And broke the engagement. Good thing they didn't publicize it. But I asked him, don't you think, you know, you can have kids with this woman? You're going to put them in your name? What does that mean? No. He said, you're right. You're right. I'm not ready. Broke the engagement. She got married 2 months later. He's still single. Yeah. I was also blown away. The next guy she dated was her husband. Okay. She was heartbroken for like a week or two. And then she met a guy, the guy of her dreams, got married. Okay. Good for her. I was very happy for her. I was very happy for her, and I was very sad for him, and I'm still trying to set him up. I didn't give up on him. But he has to decide if he's jumping off or he's not jumping off. And when you're jumping off, so we're building life together. And if we're building life together, then I should be happy at their successes. And it doesn't come naturally. It doesn't come naturally. Our nature is that I'm happy for me, and I'm happy for me. And that's the end of it. You want me to be happy for you? I'll work on it. You know, when Rav Arya Levine came to the doctor, so he said the famous line, my wife's foot is hurting us. But it doesn't happen naturally. Okay. Doesn't happen naturally, but if we work on it and we talk about it and we try to get there, and like the Rambam says about every midah, we acquire it when we fake having it. How do you acquire a trait? Fake it. Behave as though you have the trait, then it'll become part of your traits. So, yeah, the Mishnah describes it, but we all know that there's a part of that in every one of us, like we described in the previous Mishnayot. It's not an all or nothing deal. The question is, what percentage of this applies to me? So the Mishnah says, if a person says, I don't want to give of my own, but let everyone else give, so he's got a bad eye when it comes to others. And here maybe is the time to give you guys a tip. I give everyone, when their wife's giving birth, I always say, you can't nurse the baby in the middle of the night, as far as I know. But there's one thing you could do, and that is when the baby gets up in the middle of the night, you get up and change the diaper, and then give your wife the baby. You can get up and change the diaper. She doesn't have to change the diaper and feed the baby. Bad enough, she's going to get up to feed the baby. So you get up, change the diaper, then give her the baby. You know, all those husbands that tell their wives, I wish I could be doing this instead of you. Good night. I really do. I wish, but I can't. I can't. Okay, so then there are certain things which you can do. And again, if we behave like we have the trait, then with time we will have the trait. If a person wants yitin that he should give, ve'itnu acherim, and others should give as well, chasid. So look at that. The Mishnah says, if you're on a level that you want to give and you want others to give, that's extra pious. That's not tzaddik, that's not righteous, it's not that he's doing what's right, it's beyond that. Meaning it's not an easy level to attain, that I should want me to give and them to give. It's a high level. Okay, we can work on it. But if a person wants lo yiten v'lo yitnu acherim, he doesn't want he should give or anyone else should give, so that the Mishnah says is rasha. So everything else is in between. If I don't want me to give or anyone else to give, so what kind of person is that? He doesn't want anyone to get mitzvot, doesn't want to help anyone in the world. That's a bad person, says the Mishnah. Okay, so what do we see today? We saw that it's normal, that every person has certain areas that he wants to be appreciated, that we have to attain that in healthy ways. We have to build ourselves a healthy picture of what we want to attain and realize what's within our grasp and work towards it, what's out of our grasp and leave it and not be frustrated by it. We discussed the importance of not putting others down in order to bring ourselves up. The importance of realizing that every one of us wants to be appreciated in certain ways, so then we could do the inverse, at least show that appreciation to our spouse. So that's what I'm just debating whether I should share with you one more idea I have. There's something I want to copyright, but maybe I'll let you guys in on the little secret. I had an idea for a game, which I think would help a lot of couples. The game goes as follows. You take cards. You take, 30 red cards and 30 blue cards. And the cards are laminated, so they have plastic on them. And the blue cards are the husband's cards, and the red cards are the wife's cards. Now, the wife takes her red cards, she takes 20 cards, and she writes on them, with an erasable marker, she writes on them things about herself that she would want him to appreciate. Things about herself that she wants him to appreciate about herself. The husband takes 10 red cards, and he writes 10 things about his wife that he appreciates, and does the same thing with his blue cards. 20 of them he fills out, things about himself that he would want her to appreciate, traits about himself. And then 10 of them his wife fills out. Okay? Now you put the cards face down, you have a board with little men, right? His man, his and her, whatever. You throw the dice, she lands on a color, either red or blue. If she picks, red card, so he takes the red card and he starts describing the trait about her, meaning he sees, let's say she says warm. She says the way you greet the children, the way you talk to your parents, the way... So he has to start describing that trait about her, right? He just picked her cards. He has to describe what he does that's her trait that way. You guys get the picture? Very often we don't know. We don't know what the other side wants us to appreciate about them. And we don't even see it. But if we have to start describing it so she gets, she can answer which one it is, and if she gets it, right? So then that helps bring out in the person that recognition, which isn't easy. But this is an idea I had. You asked me about recognition. That's a game. Maybe one day you'll see it on the market. And then I guess I'll be coming here in a Cadillac or something. Whatever. Say that. But that's... you're right. It is tricky to figure out what people want to appreciate about themselves. And that takes time and a little talent, I guess, in conversation to figure it out. Okay.